Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Let's have prayer before we begin. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit once again. Considering the times in which we live, considering the things that are happening all around us, I pray that you will impress upon each one of us the importance of getting to know Jesus, the importance of investigating the claims of Christ. The consequences are eternal, Lord, and I just pray that each one will be led by your Spirit in that journey that each one of us has. In Jesus' name, amen. How is your spiritual experience today? If you were to give yourself a letter grade, or if you were to give yourself a percentage, how would you rate yourself in terms of how things are going between you and God today? Would you, you know, you feel like, well, you know, I've feel like I maybe have been letting him down lately. I haven't spent enough time with him. I don't know if I've maybe represented him rightly in every situation. Or maybe you're batting 1,000. Maybe you're saying, you know, things are going great. You know, it's Bible studies. I'm walking with him. I can hear his voice. He's talking. He's opening and closing doors in my life. Or maybe there are some here that feel like, you know, I'm not feeling it. I just come here because of habit. Well, to all of you, I'd say you're in the right place today. And you're here for the right event. We're here for communion. And communion has something for every one of us, regardless of where we're at in our walk with Jesus. I wanted to share a couple of things. My goal today was really to make communion the main thing. So I don't want to do a whole lot of speaking today. But I did want to share a few thoughts because, you know, the more I watch the news, the more my antennas perk up. I don't know about you. But, you know, there are things that have the potential to cause some biblical prophecies. We're seeing that they're on the verge of being fulfilled based on some of the things that we're seeing. And I can't help but think, you know, I hope that each one of us are at a place where we're at least real with Jesus. I mean, I don't want you to try and be like me. You don't know me anyways. But I don't want you to try and be what you think I'm like. Oh, well, if I'm like the pastor, then I'm closer to Jesus. My hope for each person is that we at least, wherever we're at, we're being real with Jesus. When you close your eyes and you talk with him, that you're talking to him and telling him where you're at. Because he can't help you if you're not real. He can't help you if you're not studying either, but that's another sermon for another day. Listen, I want to share a few things with you from the Passover story. You know, for our communion service today, the communion service is a continuation of the Jewish Passover for Christians. The last Passover that Jesus experienced is the first communion that Christians look to. And some of us have an idea that when Jesus had that Passover, that time that he spent with his disciples was not very long. All they did was they ate a little bit. He gave them some bread. He gave them some wine. And then they departed. But no. The Bible tells us that during that time when they were together, Jesus, I'm not going to use the word preached, but Jesus spoke with his disciples. And it was his last time with them before he was going to be arrested and crucified. So he tried to really pack a lot of information in those few, whether it was hours or whatever it was, in that time he wanted to pack as much information in there so that it could benefit them in the time of their greatest trial. When they would be severely tried and depressed, you know, we thought Jesus was the one and look what's happening to him. Well, I want to share some things with you out of that. So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to open it. We're going to be reading out of John chapter 13 and 14. Because there are some things that Jesus told them during this time together that are applicable to us and that we see as a symbol within the Passover, within the communion that we celebrate as Christians. In John chapter 13, we read that there came a point in time where, you know, no one... no one had washed each other's feet. There was no one there to wash the feet of those that came in. And Jesus decided to use this as an opportunity to teach them something. So he put his own apron, he put an apron on himself, and he went and started washing their feet. In verse 6, in John 13, 6, we read, "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.'" As part of our communion service, we celebrate the foot washing. What is this all about? That foot washing goes back to this very event. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet because none of the disciples wanted to do it. It was a menial task, and they thought they were too good for it. And Jesus is trying to teach them the importance of being humble. If you think you're the one, as we said in Sabbath school this morning, when we walk around thinking we're the one, we run into problems. The disciples thought they were all the one, and Jesus was trying to teach them something. But what we find here in the washing of the feet and not having to wash our whole body is a mini baptism. God is the God of the do-over, in case you didn't know that. Some of us think God is the God that calls you and you are not to ever make a mistake. Once you make a mistake, you're kicked out, you broke the rules, you're out of the club. Communion is a time to be reminded that God is the God of second chances, of doing over, getting a clean slate. Those of you that have given your life to Jesus, you've been baptized. Sometimes we do things that we feel are so heinous and horrible before God's eyes that we want to be rebaptized because it's the only way that we can make it right. Jesus says to us that if you've been cleaned, if you've been bathed, all you need to do is to wash your feet and you're clean all over. You see, baptism is a time, a communion is a time to be able to have our sins washed away. Now, we have that privilege every time we speak to God. I mean, this is something we do on a regular basis or we should be doing. But communion is a special time when we as a church family can come together. What is it that you feel you've done that has just made you think, well, maybe I haven't really honored God? Is there something that makes you feel, you know, I can't face God because I'm just not good enough? I keep messing up. The communion is a time to get a do-over. The communion is a time to wipe the slate clean. Recommit your life to Jesus. Have your sins taken away, both as individuals and as a church. Because you know, sometimes churches make decisions that are wrong in God's eyes. I want to ask you to turn to the verse 35, John 13, 35. As we read about this time that they're spending together. Now remember, these are the words of Jesus, the last words before he's about to be taken. If you were with your family, let's say you were with your family together at a meal, and you know as soon as this meal is over, I'm going to be taken away and my life is going to be ended. What words would you say to your family before you were taken away? Do you think they would be significant words? Or do you think you'd be sitting there talking about the trivial things and, you know, don't forget to change the oil in the car? You know what I mean? Would they be important? Yes or no? Yes. The words of Jesus are important. This is what he says in verse 35. He says this to his disciples. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love, patience, caring. What are the opposite of those things? Hate, impatience, and selfishness. The one distinguishing mark that Jesus wanted his disciples to have above all others, he didn't say wearing a purple sash will let people know you're Christians. He didn't say that wearing a certain thing or eating a certain thing is going to let people know you're a Christian. He said the number one thing that lets people know that you are a Christian is if you love one another. Now, if you've been around long enough, you know that some people are easier to love than others, right? But if you love those who love you, you haven't done anything. You're not doing anything different than people out in the street do, right? God calls the Christian to love one another. And yes, some people are harder to love than others, but God calls us to do it. If you want people to know you're a Christian, love them even when they don't love you. Now, yes, as Christians, you know, the Bible tells us that Christians do look different, they do different things, but the number one trait is love. You can walk right, you can talk right, but if you don't love, you have no value to the kingdom of God. We need to love one another. Communion is a time where we're reminded that it's love that is the hallmark of the Christian. What does it say when a Christian comes to communion and they have hate in their heart for someone else? What does it say when a Christian comes to communion and they can't even stand the person that's sitting next to them or sitting in the same side of the church as they are? God calls us to put that foolishness away. Communion is a time to be reminded of that. And not only that, the communion services, as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, these opportunities are becoming fewer and farther in between. These are times to ask ourselves the question, how is my relationship with my fellow man? Am I being a pain in the neck to someone? Has someone hurt me? Do you know that at the communion, at the Passover, we call the first communion, Jesus washed the feet of the very man that turned him over to be killed? Jesus, he dipped his bread in the same bowl as the man that was about to betray him to be killed. What is that? What is there a lesson in there for us? Coming to communion is a time to remember that the number one hallmark of a Christian is to love one another. And when we have communion, one of the reasons we let people know ahead of time is because sometimes you have to make things right. Sometimes you got to swallow your pride. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet and say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. It sounds so easy, but sometimes it's so hard. But communion is a time to remember that we need to be right with our brother, with our sister, and with our God. And dare I say, with our spouse too. Sometimes the person that I anger the most is the one that means the most to me. One of the things that help us, that keep us from enjoying the blessing of communion, is our stubborn pride. Brethren, the burden on my heart, this theme almost home, it may prove to be prophetic. It may prove to be divinely inspired, our theme for this year, because we are almost home. The burden that I have for myself and for us as believers is that too many are not being real with God. I don't care if you have faithful church attendance. Do you have faithful Bible study attendance with God? I don't care if you show up for church. Are you showing up for your prayer time with God? I don't care if you look good. Are you being honest with God? Jesus is coming soon. And what a shame. It's like the person who's being offered $1 million and keeps rejecting it and rejecting it. Only to say, well, I'll wait till the very end to accept the $1 million. And how silly. That sounds silly, right? How many of us do that with Jesus? We think he's asking too much. And he says, listen, I'm not asking too much. I gave too much if you really want to know the truth. But I felt you were worth it. Jesus is coming soon. The signs are all around us. All you need is, well, I'm not going to go there. Let me stick with this. Communion is a time to remind us, how is your love quotient? Are you truly loving your neighbor? Do people looking at you know or get a sense that there's something different about you by the way you behave? Or do you just act like everyone else around you when you're away from church? You can fool me. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to be the decider of whether or not Jesus saves you. It's going to be Christ Jesus himself. Heaven help us. I want to ask you to John 14. Jesus is continuing with talking with the disciples. Can you imagine the last moments before he leaves? And he's trying to encourage them because he knows their world is about to be exploded. He says to them, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus was sending a message to his disciples that they did not understand at that point, because their world was fine, pretty much. But it was a reminder when the things got really bad, the words, "You believe in God, believe in me. I am going away to build a mansion for you, and I'm going to come back and take you there. When the chips are down and everything seems to be falling down around your head, the communion service is a reminder of the words of Jesus that whatever problem you're going through now, it's only temporary. God is coming back. Whatever sin has done to you, whatever you've allowed sin to do to you, God will make it new and he'll make it right. I saw on the news this week that I believe it's the Air Force has a super secret spy plane. A spaceship, actually. I think it's the X-37B. And they were just getting ready to send it out on its second super top secret mission into outer space. No one knows what it's doing out there. But I found it interesting that the ship that they took a picture of, it looked similar to the space shuttle, had the heat shields on it, on the bottom and on the nose. They're like the black asbestos heat shields. And the top of it was white, similar to the space shuttle. But it had all sorts of scarring and burn marks, or heat marks, on the shell of this ship. It looked like it had been beaten and battered in its missions, like it's been through some stuff. And sometimes, you know, as Christians, we get to look a lot like that ship. Our heat shields are singed a little bit. Some of those shields are starting to curl up at the ends, you know. We show the burn marks of the scars of re-entry into the atmosphere, if you know what I'm saying. It's not easy going out into outer space. It's not easy coming back. Sometimes we get to feel like that spaceship that you almost wonder, I don't think that thing's going to fly anymore. I don't think it's airworthy anymore. The communion service is a time to come with our scars and our problems, and to be reminded that one day God is going to make us new. It's a time to remind us to keep hanging on. Listen, do you think that the things that are happening in the Middle East, that's just another blip? I highly doubt it. It may be, but I highly doubt it. Homegrown terrorism. Germany of all places. American service members being attacked. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous. Even walking down our own streets, we take our lives into our own hands. Jesus is coming again, and the communion service is to remind you of that. So no matter if you feel like that X-37B super secret spaceship, you need to know that God can make you brand new, number one, and you need to know that one of these days, you're not going to have to deal with all this turmoil anymore. John 14:15. Again, this doesn't have as much power if you don't understand the context. Jesus is leaving his disciples. He's about to be taken away. What am I going to say to my followers? What am I going to say to my disciples to leave with them? In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, do what? If you love me, keep my commandments." How many people out there are preaching a half-baked gospel where all you need to do is accept Jesus? Yes, it is true. We are only going to enter the kingdom by the grace of God. But a disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. If you commit to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a disciple means you do what he says. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You can keep God's commandments when you're in church. You can keep God's commandments when you're in front of the pastor. But what good does it do you? Jesus is coming. It's time for us to be able to talk to the Lord and say, "You know what, God? I got problems here, 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 and here. I know what you want. I can't give it. It's not in me." I'm here to tell you that God has the power to give you the will to live the way he's called you to live. But make no mistake, God has called you to live differently than the world. You cannot be the same and say, "Oh, well, God's going to do whatever he's going to do." No. To those that aren't aware, God will deal with them and he's merciful. But to those that know, To those that know and don't do, they got a problem with God. You don't have a problem with me. But you got a problem with God. My burden, the concern that I have for not just Joy of Troy, for our people, is that too many of us we're acting one way in church and we act another way at home. Jesus is coming soon. Do you think that you're going to be able to have faith in Christ when the devil starts pulling out all the stops and doing fake miracles? Do you think you're going to be able to have faith in Christ when somebody tells you, obey what the government says or you have to leave your house? Are you going to trust in this Christ that you've barely taken time to know during the good times when you go through bad times? Now is the time, friend. Now is the time to read. Now is the time to pray. Confess your sins. Be honest with God. God is real and He has the power to change and transform our lives. But He won't do it against your will. The communion is a time to remember the words of Christ. If you love God, keep His commandments. If you can't keep His commandments, guess what the problem is? It's not that you're not trying hard enough. It's that you just don't love God enough. And maybe you need to work on that relationship. When you get to a place that you say, you know what? God knows every thought in my mind. He knows everything that I thought about this week. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And God still wants to have a relationship with me. Do you think that that's a God worthy of following? When you say you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, to be your Savior is He's saved you. But being your Lord is another story. To be your Lord means that you want Him to be the boss. You want Him to be your king. And communion is a time to leave the things of the world behind. Too many of us are dealing with these worldly cultural issues. And we spend more time rationalizing how we can get away with it than just doing what God says. We need to do what God says. And I'm speaking to myself first. Communion is a time to start over. Communion is a time to refocus. If we are on the verge of seeing these biblical, cataclysmic things happen, which, by the way, let me say this. I'm not here to scare your pants off, because the Bible says very plainly, you know that the Bible says that God's people are going to be protected during the plagues that fall on the earth. You know that, right? There will be bad things that God's people are going to have to live through before that. But when the seven plagues begin to fall, they fall on the wicked. So I'm not here to scare your pants off. You should love Jesus because He loves you, not because you're afraid. That's not going to work. God saved you because you have value to Him. You should return that love with obedience. But communion is a time to remind us that God is wrapping this thing up. His last words before He was about to be taken away, before this whole thing fell apart for the disciples, are the last words that should be ours just before this thing is about to fall apart in the world. You can be spared. There'll be more trouble for the wicked in the last days than for the righteous. But if you don't love Jesus, you're not going to be willing to trust Him during those times. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is my burden this morning. I want to invite you to celebrate communion with us today. Communion is a time, as I said, to start over, to be reminded of His words. He's coming again. He can make us new. Whatever we've done, it doesn't matter to Him. He wipes it clean. Don't need to explain it. All you need to do is say, I'm sorry, and make me new through the blood of Christ. Now, we practice open communion. For those of you that aren't familiar with how we do it, you don't have to be a member of the church, but you do have to be a believer in Christ. Because the bread and the wine, they symbolize His body and His blood. We take them in because that's what we want in our lives. You don't have to be a member, but you do have to believe in Jesus. And so I invite all of us to take part in that. Now I'm going to offer a word of prayer. And we're going to sing the hymn at the end. Okay. I'm going to offer a word of prayer, and then we'll sing this hymn here, 440, and then we will separate. Let me pray. Father, Lord Jesus, we need Your Holy Spirit. We live in times where there's so many things pulling us in different directions. Lord, it's time for me to be more sober in my walk with You. It's time for me to be stronger in the faith. It's time for us to be serious about what we want to do. Help us, Lord. Help us to stop playing games. Be with us as we separate for communion, and may it be everything that you have desired for it to be for us. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.